From the Sky News Centre at 7, smoke can be seen rising from a TV tower in the Ukrainian capital Kyiv, which has come under fire by Russian forces. Officials in the city say 5 people have been killed and a number of channels have been knocked off air. There's been shelling across the country. The US Secretary of State claims hospitals and schools are among targets, while Russia insists it's not hitting civilians. Boris Johnson's been confronted about a no-fly zone over Ukraine, which would be designed to stop Moscow dropping bombs.
When it comes to a no-fly zone, we have to accept the reality that that involves shooting down Russian planes. That's a very, very big step. It is simply not on the agenda of any NATO country.
Meanwhile, the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky's bravery has been praised in the European Parliament today. His statement was met with an ovation and applause.
Can you imagine this morning, 2 cruise missiles hit this Freedom Square, dozens of killed ones. This is the price of freedom. We're fighting just for our land and for our freedom.
While in the UK, the Home Secretary's relaxing criteria to allow more people fleeing the violence a chance to settle here. Some bars have been showing their support for Kyiv in their own way, stopping the sale of Russian vodka. Elsewhere, the Queen's resumed virtual duties after testing positive for COVID. Her Majesty spoke to 2 diplomats from Windsor Castle earlier. It's been confirmed MPs will get a pay rise of more than £2,000 this year. They'll see their salaries go up by 2.7% from next month. And in sport, Manchester City are one of 3 Premier League teams hoping to avoid an FA Cup shock this evening as they travel to Peterborough. Crystal Palace hosts Stoke in their 5th round tie, while Tottenham go to Middlesbrough. That's the latest. I'm Kat Swarbe.
By the sea.
Sponsored by Eastbourne Auctions. Go to eastbourneauction.com.
Thanks for that, Kat. Just coming up to 2 minutes past 7 on this Tuesday evening. Rain, I'm afraid, throughout the area, all overnight. Temperature 7 degrees, so nothing to worry about there. Wednesday, I'm afraid, light rain throughout the day. You've got a daytime temperature 9 degrees overnight, down to 6. Easterly wind, just gently 10 miles per hour. Sunrise in the morning, if we see it, will be 6.43. Sunset will be at 5.42 in the evening. Thursday, a similar day, I'm afraid. In fact, most of the week's going to be cloud and rain. Tide currently is coming into a high tide in New Haven this evening at 10.43. If you're in Eastbourne, 3 minutes later, 10.46.
By the sea,
sponsored by Eastbourne Auctions, selling live online around the world. Call Eastbourne Auctions 01323 431 444 or go to eastbourneauction.com.
Community People with Len Fisher.
Hi, good evening. Welcome. I'm Len Fisher with the next 2 hours. Thank you, Clive Miller, for the past 3 hours. Left us no trouble to worry about. My guest tonight on Community People, Roland Brown, Chief Executive Officer of Kingdom Way Trust in Eastbourne. Loads to chat to Clive about, Roland about, not Clive, he's gone, Roland about straight after Neil Diamond.
shiny place. Make our bed and we'll say our grace. Freedom's light burning warm. Freedom's light burning warm. Everywhere around the world, they come to America. Every time that flag's unfurled, they come to America. Got a dream to take them there. They come to America. Got a dream they come to share. Tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing, of thee I sing.
Nice way to start, Community People, Neil Diamond in America. I think that was from the film The Jazz Sing, wasn't it? My guest tonight, Roland Brown, Chief Executive Officer of Kingdom Way Trust. Roland, welcome.
Thank you, Len. Good evening.
You hear us all right? Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Oh, I've got so many things I want to ask you over the next 57 minutes or so. For the listener out there, can we talk about what the trust is all about first? Yeah?
Yep, certainly. So, I guess as an over... Providing Kingdom Way Trust is about supporting people. It originally responding to the increasing issue of homelessness nearly 12 years ago, now in Eastbourne. So we're a local Christian charity, and we worked with the churches in those early days to provide emergency shelter for the homeless, and then from there we've developed various things, as I guess we'll talk about over the next little while.
Because, as you said, that started it all, but you realise then pretty quickly that there needs to be more, doesn't it? There needs to be a path somewhere after that.
So the emergency night shelter ran December to February, which, you know, was great, provided relief for people that otherwise would have been sleeping on the streets. From weather, gave them a bed, but yeah, after that, then what? And so that's as the project then developed into providing supported accommodation, which is a main part of what we do, and then started addressing other issues of a skill, you know, training people up skills and that sort of
thing. Which we're talking about the wood.
Yeah.
And you've been there, what, 5 years?
Just coming up 5 years I've been in the role, yeah.
Yeah, and we chatted off air, didn't we? So you're a Londoner.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I come from South London.
South London.
South London.
The only place to
Yeah, and, via a few other places, moved to Eastbourne in 2000.
Yeah, and you went off to Peru.
So we lived here for 7 years, and then, there was an opportunity to go to Peru. We went with an organisation to work, with people that were underprivileged. So my background was business, and I, looked to use those experiences and skills to help others to generate income in poorer communities within Peru.
What are the issues out there? I mean, poverty, presumably.
Yeah, so poverty and, what is poverty?
Well,
we were just, again, chatting with your colleagues off air about, materially, there were people that had very little, survived day to day. but yet an amazing work ethic to survive. And interestingly, obviously had no idea what role I was going to come back to, but a lot of issue with alcohol, sadly.
What, in Peru?
In Peru, yeah.
So, really?
Particularly amongst the men. They would use that as a way to numb the difficulty, I guess, of life there. Yeah. And so that was often an issue leading to family breakdown. So often mums left to look after the families, earn an income. So actually a lot of the people that I were working with were mums starting businesses and...
So similar problems, really, in a different way.
In some ways, in a different way, yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah. So you've come back, and you've gone and joined. So the churches got together on this, didn't they?
Yeah. So it was a group of people that wanted to respond, as I say, to the increasing issue of homelessness, and so because of the connections with the churches got involved. And amazingly, initially, seven churches offered a night a week their church halls to be used as an emergency shelter.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so that's basically how it worked, is that each night a church hall was offered, a team of volunteers, predominantly from that church, but from the wider churches and the wider community, set up so that people could come in. And we had up to 15 beds each night where people could come in, have food, have companionship, and be provided with a night, and that would rotate round each of the seven churches through the 3-month period.
Yeah.
Other churches joined later. We increased that number, and in all, probably had over 250 volunteers working across the season.
Yeah. And the churches got on well together in that respect?
Yeah, it was a great way for churches to work together. So, you know, although volunteers were from a church working, they would often cover each other, and other churches got involved and supported in other ways, providing equipment, funding to oversee the project. And so, it's been a great way. And even now, ongoing, and we can talk about it later, but since the pandemic, we had to stop that model. But it's, again, churches have remained involved, supporting people that have now been housed. And, it's great to see churches working together that.
You know, I lived in Pevensey, but I still find it strange that Eastbourne, which is classed as an affluent town, isn't it? I've got people sleeping rough on the streets. And we chatted off air, didn't we, tonight, you know, winter's night or autumn, cold spring night as such. 6 to 10 people would be out there sleeping wherever.
Yeah, I mean, there are still people sleeping, sadly, on the streets as we speak, or, you know, will be tonight. The numbers are a little bit hard to be sure. Yeah. I mean, there's official counts, there's what we would call the hidden homeless, who, you know, we know of, but we don't exactly know where they are. There's then the wider issue, people sleeping in cars, on other people's sofas, which, you know, we could argue was people not having a home. It's still a big issue.
And what would the main reasons for that be? I mean, obviously they're varied and vast, but if you had to categorise them, relationship situations?
Yeah, I think, so when we ran the night shelter, we would talk to people as they came in, and it was fascinating. And, you know, I think sometimes we have a stereotypical view of what a homeless person is like, what their issues are, but it was just a privilege to speak to so many people and just hear their story. And, you know, often with a background maybe like you or I, but through circumstances, things not going in their favour, maybe a wrong decision at some point, ended up losing everything, including their home. So, relationship breakdown was often a case where, you know, people were in a relationship, sharing a home. For whatever reason, that relationship might break down, whether that's with a partner or a mother or father or with a child. You know, once that relationship breaks down, often that leads to one party or the other being homeless.
Yeah. And as you say, there, for the grace of God, could be any of us, couldn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. And then that often will then lead on maybe to other things, yeah. like the things that maybe we stereotypically say, like substance misuse, alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah. And mental health issues.
Mental health being a big one. And, yeah, obviously, as we were all probably aware, with the pandemic, lockdown, isolation, I think we're only seeing an increase now of those issues.
We've had a few guests on, and I always ask them about COVID, and for some organisations, it's been a lifesaver for them, in as much that lots of people have come in and helped and everything else. But I imagine if you've lost your mortgage, perhaps, and you're going through a difficult relationship situation, you can't work, you've been furloughed and the money has stopped, that's going to bring other pressures, isn't it? And then, as you say, take to drink, perhaps, or something stronger.
Yeah. So, I mean, we work closely with a lot of other organisations in Eastbourne who do great work in terms of providing very basic needs of food, day by day, and they've certainly seen an increase in the number of people coming to their services. So Matthew 25, Salvation Army, Food Bank, we'll all be seeing the impact of that. So although people might not be at this stage losing their home, the needs are great.
Yeah, perilous. Probably 8 years ago, perhaps less than that, none of us would have heard the word food bank. We wouldn't have known what it was, would we?
No.
And yet here we are sitting in the luxury of a studio. There's people less than a quarter of a mile away who don't have the ability to put food on the table.
Yeah.
Really quite scary. Yeah. Going to play some music, and we'll come back to you in a moment. This is the latest by Mimi Webb, House on Fire.
I make friends with the head of police to make sure you suspect me the least. If I'm caught, I'll be out in a week. I've got my story straight down to a T. Oh, I'd say it wasn't me. And so we dated once in a while, but if there was a motive, it's not enough for a trial. Calls the brigade.
Edmund House on Fire, that's the latest. My guest tonight, Roland Brown, Chief Executive at the Kingdom Way Trust over in Eastbourne. Fascinating story, really sad in places, I'm afraid, but we'll be chatting to him again in a couple of seconds.
Imagine the best burger ever. We'll imagine no more because Burger Box is here. They go beyond a burger with the tastiest homemade burgers in town, plus gorgeously fresh cooked homemade patties, amazing sides, deliciously creamy milkshakes, and much, much more. Burger Box, beyond a burger. Rated local legend on Just Eat, with free delivery on orders over £13 in the Seaford and Bishopstone areas. Call Seaford 899221.
Doors opening. With more positive news on the horizon, doors are now opening in the property market. At Meeching Estates, the area's longest established estate agent, your property is extensively advertised on the net, including Zoopla, reaching the widest choice of interested buyers. Meeching Estates, your property safe in our hands. See meetingestates.co.uk or call on New Haven 515566.
To celebrate local business success, we're seeking award nominations for Best Company, Business Person of the Year, Best New Business and Eatery, Best Environmental Business, Young Business Person of the Year, and Best Customer Service. So whatever it is that makes your business outstanding, the 2022 Sea Haven Business Awards is open to any size company based or operating in Seaford, New Haven or Peacehaven. Enter before the 1st of April at newhavenchamber.co.uk.
Harry here.
Hello.
Has learnt his lesson.
I have.
Because last year, despite my advice, he chose not to see Shoreline Accountants.
Yeah, true.
And what happened, Harry?
Ended up paying too much tax.
Oh dear. So this year, you went to...
Shoreline Accountants. They saved me a small fortune.
Enough to buy me a drink, maybe? Shoreline Accountants. Here to help you run your business more effectively. See shorelineaccountants.co.uk or call Seaford 404 800.
When the days stop hurting and the rain has dried, I know you're the person I want by my side. Scaling my heart, go free and dive in line. Cause love and heartbreak, they walk a thin line. Yeah, nobody can love me like you. But that means you got the power to hurt me too. When I fall.
Is Sam Felt and Rita Ora of Follow Me. My guest tonight is Roland Brown, from Chief Exec from the Kingdom Way Trust. Roland, we chatted just before the break, didn't we, about, you know, the system when it first started to get people off the streets and give them a bed for the night. And then quickly, I think the organisation realised that wasn't enough, was it?
Yeah, that's right. So obviously offering them emergency accommodation for 2 or 3 months in the cold weather was... obviously a help, but yeah, then what? And so the combination of wanting to do something longer term, but also realizing that just providing a roof or a shelter for a lot of people wasn't, they needed more, and there was issues that they were facing. So the charity had the vision of opening a house where they could provide that longer term accommodation, but with the support as well. And so back in 2017, the bridge was opened as a house for men initially, and people who wanted to move, and as the name suggests, wanting to be a bridge from whatever situation they found.
From where you're going to go to.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, we weren't aiming at a specific issue, but it was for people who wanted to work through whatever that issue was to help them towards a more independent lifestyle.
Mm. What was the average duration of someone staying there?
So we work between 6 months and 2 years. So it's quite, so we feel like it needs to be a reasonable amount of time, because, you know, some of these issues with the people are working through are quite deep seated, and that needs a certain amount of time to help them start working through it. Because even by the time they've moved in, got settled into get into some of the routines of the house, that takes a while. And we put the 2 year sort of upper limit, not because we're going to throw them out after 2 years, but we feel like if we've worked for them and they've worked through for that long, hopefully by that stage they're ready to for something more independent. And because the danger is that they get too comfortable, maybe.
You can't get rid of them.
So that's roughly the time scale that we like to work with.
Okay. So, and again, that was funded through the churches? Because you're a charity, aren't you? So presumably you don't get government funding.
Yeah, we get, so being a housing provider, we get a certain amount of income from rental, and normally paid through benefits.
Oh, I see.
That helps us cover the costs of the housing. But no, a lot of the support work, so at the bridge we have staff that are there, not 24/7, but certainly every day during the daytime and then on call out of hours. And so a lot of that has to be funded through fundraising, through generous donations of individuals and churches help that. And so as a charity, we're looking, like many, for income from where we can get it.
You're writing bids.
Proposals. And there's, you know, there's some really generous charities, trusts out there that help with that.
Trouble is everyone's after the same pot of money, aren't they? COVID, let's talk about COVID, because if we go back a stage then, you're talking about people coming into the church overnight and the rota and everything. Presumably with lockdown, that couldn't happen, could it?
No, that's right. So sadly, we were just coming to the end of one season in the March of Night Shelter. But obviously by the time we got round to the next season, we were in the middle still of lockdowns and restrictions. And so, 15 people sleeping together in a hall, even if you had the distance between you, you were sharing the same airspace. So, from a health perspective, right across the country, those communal night shelters were not permitted. So sadly, we couldn't run it. On the positive side, the council and the Everyone In initiative from central government that you may have heard of, encourage people who otherwise would have been sleeping on the streets into rooms that the local councils provided. And the council asked us then to help with provision of food into those houses. Mm. So again, a smaller number, but there were the volunteers from the churches who would cook meals, and then we would take them in to those houses. So at least people that were provided with that accommodation would also have a hot meal each night through the winter.
What COVID did, I mean, as horrendous as it is, or was, and still is, it brought a lot of organisations together, didn't it, and started getting them talking to each other, which prior to that they didn't do.
Yeah, that's as a general thing, quite true. And certainly, COVID did. The famous online Zoom meetings and that sort of thing. But you're right. It did give an opportunity for discussions and people working together, because we needed to make sure we provided the best possible support for those who needed it. And so there are positives, as you say, and that has continued to a degree of organisations working together.
Yeah. So would the bridge project, is that Hope into Action or is that...
No, so Hope into Action is another element of what we offer as a charity, one of our other projects. Hope into Action is actually a national charity with very similar aims of providing accommodation, good quality housing and homes for people, but with a level of support as well. And the particular aspect of the Hope into Action model is that as well as, so I have a staff member here in Eastbourne who goes around and visits the tenants of each of our properties, but each property is then linked with a local church, and a group of volunteers offer their time to give befriending support to the tenants of those houses. Because, as we've said, so many of the issues that people face isn't just necessarily about not having a roof over their head, but it's those other support needs. And again, as we've probably seen through lockdown, that importance of community for people. So just giving somebody a room or a flat to stay in, will be a help, but may not be everything that they need. So what we've seen a real benefit of those groups of volunteers, just being able to get alongside, go out to coffee with people, go for a walk, take them to an appointment, as being a real benefit within that Hope
and sort of getting
model.
Back into communicating with others and perhaps life skills, giving you confidence back as well.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, so yeah, just giving people some confidence to relate to people
and hope.
Yeah, and as it says in the name, Hope into Action.
Yeah, I noticed that with the other. You were talking about the woodwork one, Hope.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about the woodwork one in a moment.
Yeah.
So the challenges really over the last 6 years haven't gone away, have they? You're just keeping up with them, really.
Yeah. So homelessness has become an issue. It's been brought into focus, and I think even more so during lockdown. And there are initiatives around and talk about ending homelessness, which is a great vision to have, and we would certainly support that. But the challenges continue. People's situations, obviously, we don't know what's going to happen ongoing with what we're just coming through. But we'll continue to work to support people, and our aim is to help people back into a more independent living with the support that
we haven't discussed it, so I'm going to ask you this question. I mean, there's no pressure from the recipients to get involved in the church side of it.
No, so we're a Christian charity, and obviously came out of very much the church's initiative, and our principles of the support and the care and the, very much come for us from biblical principles. But no, there's absolutely no expectation or obligation on the people that we work with, whether we're providing housing for them, support for them. We make it fairly clear that's where we're coming from. If people want to ask questions and talk about, that's fine. But no expectation at all. We'll work with anybody of all faiths and none.
And going back to where we first started, the preconception that certain people have, and I class myself amongst that originally. I've learned a lot over the last few years, but you're out in the streets because perhaps you drink too much or you've got substance abuse or whatever. That isn't the case now, as we've said earlier on. It can be relationship, it can be mental health. Generally, would you say it was male and female that you're dealing with?
Yeah, so certainly in the night shelter we would get both male and female, and still the larger percentage, particularly of people that end up street homeless, would be male over female, but they're certainly both, and certainly the people that struggle and need support. So although the bridge is a male only house living together, our Hope into Action houses, we have both male and female residents,
and again we touched on it just now, didn't we, the Hope, the woodwork scheme. That's evolved from the other two, really.
It was actually started by a different group of people at a similar time that the bridge started, from a group of guys who really had a passion to see an opportunity to provide a safe and supportive place for people who predominantly would have been long-term unemployed or maybe never been into a work situation, to provide a training, yes, and the guys that started it were all passionate about woodwork, so they started a carpentry workshop. But very quickly realised that it was more about giving people life skills, was about giving people purpose and hope. As you said in the name, Hope Woodwork. Giving them confidence, self-esteem. And that's now, again, developed over the past years as a place that is open to everybody, again, male and female, we have coming in, to come and train, to come and get back into the routines of, working, following instructions, working with colleagues, health and safety. Having a purpose. Yeah. And, often coming out, being able to produce something, develop their creativity. But again, in a supportive environment where, if they have a bad day, they're not going to lose their job. If they do turn up late, then, we'd encourage them. And, just to be able to sit in an environment where, around coffee or over lunch, they can just have banter, build relationships.
Some sort of normality. I mean, I've used that word on a number of my shows, but that's what a lot of people are seeking, all of us, is some sort of normality, getting back to what we used to.
Yeah, and for some people, that hasn't been their experience in a work situation, but to come in and have that support and encouragement is really important.
So. Okay, I've still got loads of things I want to talk to you about, and time is just flying by. Let me just play the jam. This is called That's Entertainment. absolute classic from the Jam, 1981, That's Entertainment. My guest tonight, Roland Brown, Chief Exec of Kingdom Way Trust in Eastbourne. Absolutely fascinating story. We'll be chatting to Roland again in a couple of seconds.
Whoops, bit of a prang. Siraj. Watch that. Oh, concrete bollard. Siraj. Calmer now. Time for your MOT. Siraj. Servicing. Siraj. Tyres. Siraj. Diagnostics. Siraj. Parts. Siraj. All makes and models. Siraj. Free estimates. Siraj. Insurance job. Siraj. Best prices. Siraj. Ooh, got the message? Siraj. For all your vehicle needs. Siraj Accident Repairs. Cradle Hill Industrial Estate, Seaford. 893 535.
I love a good curry, but I'm in love with the Bengal Palace experience. This family-run restaurant makes the tastiest dishes this curry lover has ever had, and it's right on our doorstep in Seaford. Everything on the a la carte menu is lovingly prepared by highly skilled chefs using locally sourced fresh produce whenever they can. No wonder the Bengal Palace is an award-winning restaurant. Book your Bengal Palace experience now. Call Seaford 899-0007.
Moving along.
Moving up.
Stable.
Vibrant.
Dependable.
Dynamic.
Present.
Future.
Local.
Global. See things differently. Take your business to new levels. From startups to established small and large businesses across every sector, at the New Haven Chamber of Commerce, we make it our business to bring the best out in yours. See newhavenchamber.co.uk.
Explore love, loss, mystery, and intrigue as complex relationships are revealed by a master of his craft. Don't miss this rare chance to see Arthur Miller's Two-Way Mirror, starring West End actor Ian Fletcher with Eleanor Sturton, playing locally at theaters across our region for a limited time only. Which side of the mirror are you on? Book tickets now on our website at darkunicorn.org.
Calling, say-
There's a lady that goes by the name of Harper Starling. Say my name, why don't you, babe? My guest tonight, Roland. Roland Brown is the chief exec of Kingdom Way Trust over in Eastbourne. Roland, we've talked about loads of things, haven't we? There'll be listeners out there perhaps just switching on, and I'll run through some of, or we'll run through some of the projects that you're involved in. But there'll be listeners out there also that want to help, perhaps. What's the best way at the moment for them to get in touch with you? Let's take your website.
Yeah, so I guess our website, kingdomwaytrust.org, has information on it. We're updating it. If people want to contact us, there's a contact form on there. Just pop in your details, and if you've got a question, or just drop that and that'll come through to us. Then our Facebook page as well, you could message via that. So again, Kingdom Way Trust. And on the website, you could sign up to our newsletter. And so every few months, we'll update people on what's happening around the projects, what's new. Various ways to keep in touch.
And what do you need? I mean, if someone said to you, right, here's a blank check, what do you actually need? I mean,
well, blank checks are,
some money.
Obviously, there's money. And again, there's a donation link on the website if people want to contribute financially. But also people volunteering, so Hope Woodwork that we've mentioned. And, obviously if people have got skills in the woodworking or practical area, those are the people that are passing on the training to the people that come in. If you've got any of those skills, you would be very welcome. And, that can be from a few hours a week. But even if you don't have those skills and you're just interested in working alongside people and supporting them, you would also be very welcome. And our guys there can train you in some of the basics of woodwork to allow you to do that. Obviously, if you know people that would benefit from that sort of environment, again, you can refer those people to us. So that's Hope Woodwork. And I guess on a practical thing, we do a lot of upcycling and recycling. So we make products out of old pallets. So within reason, if you've got wooden items that you're disposing of, then we would certainly be interested in make contact with us.
You don't want a tree that's fallen down.
No, not particularly.
Does the woodwork in, where is that based?
Yeah, so that's based in what used to be the old Eastbourne auction rooms on the Finmere Industrial Estate. Yeah. Just off Seaside, off Northbourne Road, Seaside, around the back of the big Tesco's on Lockbridge Drove.
Yeah.
All the maps are on the website, contact details there. If you want to come and visit, see some of the products, you can see them via the website as well. So there's opportunities to buy things on that website too. So that's Hope Woodwork. And then, as I say, we haven't been running the night shelter that took a lot of volunteer power, which was great. But we are actually just, we haven't talked about it yet, but we're actually just looking to reopen a weekend drop-in centre, again, aimed at the street community or those who are lonely and isolated to come at weekends. Again, Matthew 25, Salvation Army do great. They have a drop-in every weekday. Other agencies do stuff, on the streets, serving meals. But we just felt that there was a space for at weekends for people to come in and have, a warm, safe space. So we did it for a few months pre-COVID, we're just now looking at a new venue in Seaside Road to start that again. So again, if people were interested and available at the weekends to do a few hours to come and serve.
Because it's not a competition, is it, amongst organisations? Everyone is really trying to deal with the problem in different ways.
And there's so many levels of need and so many great organisations out there helping at different levels. And we certainly don't want to duplicate what other people are doing or as you say, compete with them. Surviving the streets, warming up the homeless, other absolute angels do a great job in taking food to really the coalface, as it were, to where people are. The space for a weekend drop-in we felt was something that we could maybe.
And I meant to ask you earlier, how do you get the referrals to your your customers as such? Yeah. I mean, do they come to you, or is it via the church, or is it word of mouth?
Yeah, so from the accommodation point of view, yeah, again, with the agencies that we have links with, that work with people, they would be aware of us and refer to us. You know, we have good connections with the council, and so people who, you know, maybe come through that route and need accommodation, sometimes through the churches, sometimes through word of mouth. Hope Woodwork is very much open to everybody. So again, through other agencies who are supporting people in mental health or substance misuse recovery, would know about us as an opportunity for what we call meaningful activity.
Signposting.
So a lot of that goes on. So so that happens sort of across the agencies.
And again, you obviously do a lot of signposting yourself to help people with benefits or
services. You know, my staff team, my volunteers, you know, they have a lot of skills, but there's a lot of things that we can't be specialists in. And again, this where working together is important. So yeah, if somebody needs benefit help, we'll point them one way. If they've got, you know, substance issues, there's other agencies. So yeah, we're always trying to point people to people that are best placed to help and support.
Okay. I'm going to play a little bit more music before I let you go. This is the Everly Brothers, a bit before your time, I suspect. From the Everly Brothers, of course, When Will I Be Loved? Just a heads up, Kathy, my colleague, who's sitting next to me at the moment, she'll be taking over from me just after 8 o'clock tonight. My guest is Roland Brown, Chief Executive Officer. Roland, it's been absolutely brilliant talking to you tonight. Presumably you want to say thanks to all your colleagues and volunteers.
Yeah, I mean, I work with a great team, both of staff and, yeah, volunteers. We just couldn't do without them, obviously, back in those... right from the beginning, yeah, literally, as I say, hundreds of volunteers who gave up their time to help run the winter night shelter, the ongoing ones that have cooked, you know, day in, day out for a long time, giving of their time and their resources to help us do what we do. Yeah, groups of volunteers at Hope Woodwork and others. So, yeah, so we're very grateful to all those who make that possible.
And on that subject, if anyone wants details, information, can you just run that website and contact pass us again?
So our website is KingdomWayTrust, all one word, .org, and there's details of all our projects on there and a contact form that you can fill in and send to us, or subscribe to the newsletter to keep updated. There's a blog on there where we try and post things that are either happening or related to the issues that we work with. And then Facebook as well. It's fairly new, actually. We haven't had that very long, But there's a Facebook page, Kingdom Way Trust, and again, there's news on there and obviously ways to contact us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very welcome. Any comments?
Or, anything they can do to help.
Yeah.
Well, on Facebook subject, we've had nearly 4,000 hits so far since I posted your picture and the details this morning.
Yeah.
And as I've said time and time again, without people like you, we just take that for granted, and I just want to say thank you because, just puts it all in perspective. My guest tonight... Roland Brown. Let me just press this little button. Roland, Chief Executive Officer, Kingdom Way Trust. Take us up to my colleagues at the Sky News Desk and subsequently Cathy, Davey, Dozy, Beaky, Mick and Titch last night in Soho.
Once was the time.